This is the Veteran Story podcast, where we talk to Armed Forces veterans about their careers. And I'm here with Peter, who's going to have a little chat with us. How are you doing, Peter?
Good, thank you.
Peter, tell us a little bit about, first of all, joining up with the Armed Forces. Tell us, you know, why you made the decision to do that.
From a council estate in the northeast of England, where sort of in the early 80s there wasn't a great deal going on in terms of career opportunities and things like that. So I pretty much looked at joining the armed forces at 16 straight from school and ended up joining the Air Force almost by default. But ended up there. I applied for the Marines at first and was told I was too young, and then ended up in the Air Force, of all things.
Had you had any family members in the armed forces at all?
No, it was literally just I love my sport, love being outside doing stuff. Nearly made it professional football wise, but didn't quite as usual. Nothing much left in the northeast of me, so I ended up joining the armed forces, which seemed a good move at the time.
Of course, football's big in the northeast. Which team do you support?
Sunderland, unfortunately.
Hey, listen, we Morecambe were playing them last season, so, you know.
It was a couple of years ago, and I think it was the Papa John's Trophy we played and scored a last-minute winner against Morecambe, which was nice. I don't get to many games now because I live away from the North East, but, I'm visually impaired as well, so I don't say much. So it's mostly for the atmosphere I go, but still enjoy the odd game now and again.
So we'll go back to your career then. So you joined up. Tell us a little bit about your training.
I joined up as a caterer at the time because that's what they were desperate for. Didn't have any qualifications at school, so most of my career was catering in security, base security. Initial 6 weeks training, 8 weeks training, I think it was, the same as everybody else. And then from there on, you just get attached to a unit. A bit different to the army in that you're not with a regiment as such, you go to a base. So my 7 years, I guess, I served in London. Then went off to Central America in Belize, which was brilliant, loved it out there. Right on the border of Mexico, so we were there every chance we got. Came back and went to Kinloss up in Scotland with the Nimrod Squadron, which was really good. Had a good 2 years up in Scotland. Went travelling again and then went off to Ascension Island, which is a little island about 7 miles wide. It's basically a staging post for the Falkland Islands. Came back from there after another 6 months and finished off my career at Lytton and Ouse in York.
So what 7 year period was that? Which years were you there?
I joined in 83 and left in just before end of 89.
Okay.
So I joined at 17, so I've done 7 years almost, because you only do 6 years service for your 18th birthday. So I left just before my 24th birthday when I left. So yeah, it was 7 years, but 6 year contract, if that makes sense.
And what was your actual role in the Air Force?
Catering. Various catering roles, in-flight catering, setting up catering, field catering units all over the place. So it really, with the Air Force, it depended on where you went. At Hendon I was running messes, officers mess, sergeants messes, and junior ranks messes. Ascension Island was a bit different. That was more in flight catering, where we served the aircraft coming in and out doing Falklands trips backwards and forwards, ferrying troops. Belize again, that was more it was an operational base because of the Guatemalan threat at the time, so we ran the whole side of the catering section there for Army and Air Force and whichever detachments were there. And then Kinloss was a Nimrod squadron, so we serviced any aircraft that came into RAF Kinloss at the time.
So are you loading up like a huge amount of food, I would imagine, onto aircraft and then flying it out there? Is that the idea?
Much everything from your bases and your people who are resident on the base, looking after messes and making sure that they were all fed and looked after, to the operational side, which was your aircraft going off on sorties and going off on missions. So we covered the whole aspect of catering, really, which was quite nice. But again, that varied on which base we're at. So at Hendon, my first posting, it was an air trooping centre sending people across to all over Europe. So that was more of a fixed thing, you know, it was more standard messes, whereas Kinloss was operational, so that was more feeding everybody who went all over the world on sorties out to the North Sea and all sorts of things. So it was quite varied, which was quite good. Not what I intended to join for, but there you go, that's where you end up.
What did you intend to join for?
I applied as a PE instructor at the time because I was playing semi-professional football, semi-professional cricket, but I was nearly 17 when I joined, and I think it had to be 18 because it was out in corporal, so I think it was probably just the usual careers offer, Sam, thing to get you in at the time, you know. But yeah, but I enjoyed my time all the same, you know, it was good. Saw some brilliant places, done some travelling and that, which was really good.
What would you say was the biggest challenge of your job?
I think the operational side was pretty difficult because obviously it was a lot more press and a lot more stress and a lot more pressure there. Belize was an operational place where, you know, Guatemalan threat from similar to what the Falklands was with the Argentinians. Belize was the same with Guatemalan territorial rights. again, Ascension was quite stressful in terms of getting aircraft off the ground to the Falklands. It was literally the only thing, only stop between the UK and the Falkland Islands, which was some however many thousand miles it was, but it was other side of the world, so it was quite, it was good, it was intense, but you know, you enjoyed that side of things and relaxed with a beer afterwards, and a quite nice setting in Ascension Island.
Yeah, I mean, that's, that was the thing. I mean, I guess you'll have made some really good close friendships there, and you know, got the opportunity to you know, have a chat with people who are in the same position as you.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think it was a little bit different to your army, because the you stay with your regiment in the army, where the Air Force, you transfer to a base. So we made some friends when I was at my first posting at Hendon. Then you moved on to Belize, which is Central America, which is, again, a totally different group of people you met. And for the next three tours I've done, that was the same. But what's quite nice is, I think social media's helped now. I'm on a Facebook page with some of the friends I met and served with in Kinloss, which we worked out about 35 years ago. We all served together. There's about 7 or 8 of us now who've got together again, and hopefully meeting up soon. I've met some of the guys who we served with, but hopefully everybody will get together at some point. But they're spread all over the world. One guy lives in Canada, another one lives in Australia. So it's amazing where what destinations your friends who you work with at the time in the armed forces, where they end up.
So what, after 7 years, was that the sort of your time up, or was there did you actually make the decision to leave?
So I think after 7 years I made a decision to move on and do something different. So from there, for me, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Done a bit of travelling after I left the Air Force and ended up joining the prison service. Spent 11 years in the prison service. Fortunate enough to do a degree and then a master's degree when I was in the prison service, which they funded, and then went into teaching after that. Spent 7 years in teaching, which I thoroughly enjoyed, working with kids in a college. But unfortunately after that, I got diagnosed with having Stargardt's disease, which eventually let me lose my sight. So I've got about 5% left. I've got macular dystrophy, which is a version of Stargardt's, so I've lost all my central vision, so I don't recognise faces, can't drive, that sort of thing. But bit difficult in the fact that I was actually mortgaging kids at the time, so I just had to carry on working. So I left teaching and done all sorts of things since then. And I work for, of all things, a charity supporting blind veterans, which I thoroughly enjoy. Been there about 5 years now, and just love the role I do now. It makes such a difference to some people, you know, and it's really good. And they're all veterans I work with as well, so that's really good.
I guess that events like this as well are really important too, in terms of the support that you're getting.
Absolutely. I think it brings it home to me more working with blind veterans, because I've got a caseload of about 100 members who I support, and you realise how some people are quite isolated, and I can see the similarities with that just in general veterans groups as well, because it is a big transition from military life to civilian life as such, and some adapt a lot better than others. But I think the hardest thing for me to come to terms with and see is the people who live by themselves. You know, there's a lot of isolation out there, and I think a lot of veterans just don't feel the need or don't feel the want to go and get support when it's out there, even though they probably need it. Where I think things like this, these lunch clubs and breakfast clubs and things, it just makes such a difference, because it gives you that chance to talk to other veterans, and just, you know, sometimes the problems will come out, which we've all had and all gone through at times, but they really do make a difference, these sort of things in the community.
And what's the Blind Veterans charity that you're working for? What's the name of it, the blind charity?
Blind Veterans UK. We support veterans who've lost a sight through, not necessarily through service, who've just generally lost a sight. I joined as a member first about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Done some volunteering with members who were isolated, just going around having a chat with them for an hour, helping them out here and there. And then ended up working for them, and been working for the charity for about 5 years now, and it really does make a difference to a lot of veterans' lives.
Brilliant. Well done on the work that you're doing there. And Peter, lovely to speak to you for the Veteran Story podcast. Thank you very much. And I hope Sunderland continue to do really well.